tuned in to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John, here in Los Angeles. This was recorded on Tuesday, January the 14th, 2014. And in the top of the news today, about every month, you know, we come out with these unemployment figures, and here in the Yahoo News is the article, "Is Unemployment Really 6.7%? By Jay Hart. This was released on January 10th. Unemployment fell to a five-year low of 6.7% in December, yet employers added just 74,000 new jobs during the month, the lowest monthly payroll increase in nearly 3 years. So how does the unemployment number fall despite such weak job growth? In simple terms, the U.S. Department of Labor stops counting people who have stopped looking for work. How do they determine that? The labor force, as defined by the department, fell from 155.3 million in November to 154.9. This decrease of 400,000 accounts for nearly the entire drop in unemployment, from 7% in November to 6.7% in December. How the department calculates unemployment is rather simple. It takes the number of unemployed, well, how do you determine that, and divides it by the number of people it considers in the labor force. But does this provide an accurate account of how many people are really unemployed? Not really. According to department statistics, nearly 11 million out-of-work Americans were not counted as unemployed in December. How is it determined who is and isn't considered unemployed? Here are the department parameters for those who aren't counted as part of the labor force. Persons marginally attached to the labor force are those who currently are neither working nor looking for work, but indicate that they want and are available for a job and have looked for work sometime in the past 12 months. Discouraged workers, a subset of the marginally attached, have given a job market-related reason for not currently looking for work. Persons employed part-time for economic reasons are those who want and are available for full-time work but have had to settle for a part-time schedule. The department classifies those who fall in the marginal category as U6. The chart below shows actual unemployment as defined by the department versus the U6 number. So if you go to the site here on the chart, we have down the side percentage unemployed and the months August, September, October, November, and December of 13. And the red line shows unemployment, which is around between 6 and 8%, yet the green line, which marks U6 people, goes up to 14, around 13 or 14. As you can see, when including those who fall in the U6 category, unemployment remains above 13%. Another troubling number is the labor force participation rate, which dropped to 62.8% in December, the lowest since December 1977. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that translates to 91.8 million people not counted in the workforce. Jason Furman, the White House chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, said the latest jobs report shows that as our economy continues to make progress, there's a lot more work to do. Yeah, like work on those statistics. House Speaker John Boehner wasn't as impressed. He said there are more families living in poverty today than there were before the president took office, and instead of making it easier to find a good-paying job, Washington has been more focused on making it less difficult to live without one. Good point. And now on to the Harper's Weekly Review. This dated today, January 14th, 2014. In Ibrahimzai, a majority Shia village in northwestern Pakistan's Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province, a Sunni militant killed himself and a ninth grader named Atsaz Hazan in a suicide attack on a local secondary school. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif recommended that Hassan, who had been excluded from morning assembly as a punishment for tardiness and tackled the bomber before he could enter the school's main gate, be awarded Pakistan's Star of Bravery. My son made his mother cry, but saved hundreds of mothers from crying for their children, said Hassan's father. He was very cute, said a cousin. Former Israeli Prime Minister and General Ariel Sharon died after 8 years in a coma, prompting Palestinians in the Gaza Strip to hand out sweets in celebration. His people loved him, said President Shimon Peres. Our people, said a Hamas spokesman, feel extreme happiness. Thousands of refugees left Iraq's Anbar province for the Kurdish north of the country, fleeing sectarian fighting around the city of Fallujah, the site of a 2004 U.S. military offensive that resulted in the deaths of nearly 100 Marines. Lives were wasted, and now everyone back home sees that, said one American veteran. Wow, thanks for dragging up all these memories I tried to forget that were controlling my life, said another. The United Nations Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights announced that it had ceased updating its tally of Syrian civil war deaths because of insufficient information, and an American philosopher cautioned against excessive webcam monitoring in the home. Sometimes the key to overcoming resentment, said the philosopher, is being able to forget. Good point. Emails released under the Freedom of Information Act showed last September's partial closure of the George Washington Bridge, which lasted 4 days and affected more than 500,000 vehicles, to have been arranged by members of the administration of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie as retribution against the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee, who declined to endorse Christie for re-election. In a press conference lasting nearly 2 hours, Christie repeatedly denied involvement. You try to tell me the guy's in charge and he don't know, said Fort Lee resident August Cacciavoni. It strains credibility, said New Jersey Assemblyman John S. Wisniewski. I think it's pretty darn credible, said former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. The District Attorney of Manhattan unsealed disability fraud indictments against 80 retired police officers and firefighters, including one man who complained of fear of crowds, but subsequently sold ice cream-filled cannoli at the Feast of San Gennaro in Little Italy. Congressman Bob Goodlatte, Republican Virginia, reiterated his opposition to federal milk regulations. And Kraft Foods declared a Velveeta shortage. In West Virginia, an estimated 7,500 gallons of the foaming agent 4-methylcyclohexane methanol leaked into a local river from a storage facility operated by Freedom Industries, prompting the state's water utility to issue do-not-drink warnings in 9 counties. It's a prison from which we would like to be released, said the mayor of Charleston. A Kentucky state representative accidentally discharged her semi-automatic Ruger 380 pistol in Frankfurt's Capitol Annex. A former wife of the author Cormac McCarthy was released on bond after threatening her boyfriend with a silver gun retrieved from her vagina. An anthropologist showed that economic misery begets literary misery. West of Hope, British Columbia, a tractor trailer carrying wine collided with one carrying pulp. The dark side of the moon was shown to be turquoise. Uncle Misho, the last shoeshiner of Sarajevo, died of a heart attack. That was a job opening. Sir Giorgio Clardi, a pimp serving a prison sentence in Oregon for assaulting a John with his Jordans, filed suit against Nike for failing to label the sneakers as potentially dangerous. And biologists at the Center of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies concluded that ocean acidification makes conches less likely to use their strong feet. An Illinois peacock froze to a pine tree, and thousands of Queensland's little red flying foxes succumbed to heat stress. They just fall in heaps at the base of trees, said a bat conservationist, like dripping chocolate. A Welshman was sentenced to 6 years in prison for the arson of a crisps plant in Crumlin, and an opposition politician in Zambia was arrested for comparing the country's president to a sweet potato. A doctor in Darwin, Australia, used olive oil to suffocate a cockroach stuck in a man's ear. And authorities in Moorooka, Australia, used olive oil to free a nude man stuck in his washing machine. It was a bit like a birthing, said the Moorooka man. The Colorado Child Safety Hotline 1-877-LOVE-TOTS was found to have become a phone sex hotline. And internet users in Motherwell, England, were found to average briefer visits to Pornhub than users in Staines-upon-Thames. Indeed, speaking at the Museum of Tolerance in Manhattan, Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat, New York, requested that former NBA power forward Dennis Rodman cancel a planned basketball game in North Korea. It would be like inviting Hitler to lunch, said Engel. The Chinese recycling tycoon Chen Guangbao proposed to buy the Wall Street Journal. I am very good, said Chen, at working with Jews. Indeed. This article was written by Anthony Lydgate. And once again, we have reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. People, please have a good week. Be good to one another and stay out of the news.